Warning, you are about to listen to the greatest radio show ever. And due to contractual obligations and to shield our airwaves and corporate licensees from any semblance of liability, responsibility, and gullibility, we must tell you the views represented on this show are not necessarily those of this station or its management. This radio show contains differing points of view on current political topics, and due to the nature of its contents, it should be heard by everyone. Thank you for listening. 3, 2, 1. Now live from the Devil Radio Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, where the political party is just beginning. Welcome to the Devil's Advocate Show. Friends proving it's never personal, only politics.
Please allow me to introduce myself.
Here is your host, Mike Crute.
Welcome to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Dominic, it's Friday. We air the grievances. I'm sure you got a bunch.
You know it, baby. Happy Friday, Crudy. Evan on the board. Our fair audience, a pleasure to be with you as always. It's Friday. We air the grievances. You can always join us at 844-967-2789. We got lots of guests today, too, Crudy. Harvey K at 4:30. Oh, we also got, Downtown Don Brown coming in at 4:20. Talk about the Waukesha Parade this weekend. And, of course, our friend James Santel, former U.S. attorney. He's going to check in at 5:30. Lots of legal updates today and the last couple of days. We're going to check in with Jim. It's going to be great.
Kind of feel like you're stealing my thunder there, Sylvia. I introduced the guest around here, man. I introduced the guest. Let me introduce a little grievance, not the fact that you've stolen my thunder already.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Our pal, Darcy Haber. I was speaking with her. You know, she has been an instrumental part of putting and keeping Devil Radio on the air through the years. She's been a partner to me. And she and I were talking earlier today, and I said to her, you know, what about next year? Are we in for next year? And we're going to go to lunch and negotiate. But she pointed out to me that I don't do a good enough job of telling you where I'm broadcasting from. The Solidarity Realty Studios. And she had a bit of a grievance in that she is the sponsor of the Solidarity Realty Studios. So I'm here in Madison in the world headquarters in the Solidarity Realty Studios. So there you go, Darcy.
Hope you're listening. There you go.
Now, if she's not listening right now, if I don't get a text from you in 1 minute, Darcy, then I got a grievance. So, Dom, Obama went down to Georgia. Apparently, Trump's phoning it in at the bequest of the vampire-liking Herschel Walker. You know, he's pro-vampire. That's what I hear. But Obama went down to Georgia. And obviously, he is there to stump on behalf of Senator Warnock. And whenever Barack Obama's speaking, man, he sounds a lot better than damn near anybody else. So let's play a little of the sound. Let's harken back to better days when Barack Obama was our president. But anyways, play it for the people. At least, you know, from the point of view of a political talk show. Cut number one, Barack Obama.
He's been protecting a woman's right to determine her own destiny.
Must be talking about Warnock. More from Barack Obama.
Because of some really concerted efforts in a lot of important states, many of the most egregious, potentially dangerous, and let's face it, somewhat crazy, folks, election deniers, got beat.
Yes, thankfully. But there's still more of them out there, former President Barack Obama stumping about in front of about 5,000 people in Georgia. The second time he's been in Georgia this cycle. Evan, let's play cut number three.
Their strategy is to scare you and confuse you and bamboozle you, run the okey-doke on you, and make you believe that your vote does not matter.
But it does. One more from Barack Obama. Did I mention that Herschel Walker is pro-vampire? Cut
four. Since the last time I was here, Mr. Walker has been talking about issues that are of great importance to the people of Georgia. Like whether it's better to be a vampire or a werewolf.
I believe he's pro-vampire.
I think he is. Barack Obama went on to say that he had to admit that he himself had had that thought process, that conversation, when he was seven.
That's like that's like Superman Batman, right? I mean, they made a movie. Don probably saw the movie, but Superman Batman, that was like the eternal kids argument. Didn't they have a similar argument in Stand By Me, like Mighty Mouse against Superman? Well, Mighty Mouse is a cartoon.
I don't know, Alien versus Predator? I'm not clear. Obama did conclude by saying, as far as I'm concerned, he could be anything he wants to be, except a United States senator.
Damn. Prompting
laughter and applause from the crowd, and finally added, this would be funny if he wasn't running for the Senate. And it's totally true. I mean, Walker is unfit. I mean, I guess he checks the boxes. He's living, breathing, you know, old enough citizen.
He doesn't even live in the state. No, literally, Dom. He lives in the state of Texas. He's been saying it continuously on the stump. But he's running from the state of Georgia. So when you talk about being a citizen, maybe of the United States, but it's the wrong damn state.
Come on, man. Didn't Hillary Clinton become senator of New York? And she didn't live in New York, right?
Well, eventually she did.
Okay, well, maybe if Walker gets elected, eventually he'll get to Georgia. But that.
Well, if Tim Michaels had gotten elected, he'd have moved to Wisconsin.
I mean, come on. The former president said Walker had a history of telling bold-faced lies. Bold-faced lies. And this is true. I mean, just go back and look at any of the things Herschel Walker has said. Google Herschel Walker lies. I mean, it is
I'm a cop.
Outrageous.
I graduated first in my class.
What? No, no, no.
I'm not even clear that he graduated, though.
Pull the badge out, you know, during, I mean, it's just beyond the pale. And the fact that this election is even as close as it seems to be is, of course, very concerning. But hopefully Warnock will win out with a little help from his friends like former President Barack Obama.
Now, Dominic, is it just a little different down south? People go a little crazy from the heat. I don't know if you know. We were talking about this as we ended yesterday's tremendously super-duper show.
You're welcome.
The turning on the head of the nominating process for the Democrats.
Yeah.
And Joe Biden did it. He flipped it on its head last night, and basically the takeaway is suck at Iowa. But above and beyond that, Iowa will not be a caucus state anymore. A little bit of the coverage from the Washington Post. Democrats on Friday faced a rebellion from their own leaders in New Hampshire, Nevada, and Iowa as party officials in these states said publicly that they were not prepared to accept President Biden's push for a new presidential nominating calendar in 2024. Biden shocked many in his party on Thursday evening by asking for a complete remaking of the early nominating calendar, with South Carolina going first. South Carolina. We didn't go there for the primary last time, right, Dom?
No, we didn't.
Followed by Nevada. We went to Nevada, Dom. We skipped New Hampshire. And then Georgia and one in Michigan. We've been to Michigan for Democratic primaries prior, and maybe someday soon we'll make it to Georgia, Dom. The plan, which is likely to be ratified soon by a key party panel, would eliminate Iowa's historical role of kicking off the nation's presidential nomination season by holding its caucuses. We don't have to go back to Dubuque this time, Dom.
Oh, thankfully.
As the Democratic National Committee's Rules and Bylaws Committee met Friday in Washington to approve the recommendation, New Hampshire's two Democratic senators both vowed to defy Biden's wishes by supporting Republican Governor Chris Sununu's plan to keep the nation's first primary there. New Hampshire does have a statute. We do have a law, and we will not be breaking our law, said Joanne Dowdell, New Hampshire's representative on the committee, and I feel that any lawyer in the room or around the table would feel that it's not in the best interest of this body to even suggest we do that. And Nevada State Senate Majority Leader Nicole Canazario, and I'm sure that's wrong, and just my pronunciation, not her name, and Nevada State Assembly Speaker-elect Steve Yeager, both Democrats, released a joint statement refusing to move their primary date from Tuesday, February 6th to meet the Biden plan. We strongly disagree with President Biden's proposed new order of early presidential nominating states. We are the right long-term choice to be first in the nation. A lot of politicking going on, Dom. And at the same time, Nevada representatives in Washington told Democrats that they would welcome South Carolina's primary going first if it took place on Saturday before Nevada's scheduled date. So there's some calendar jumping here, Dom. But you know what? This is a private party, right? The Democratic Party is a private party. And it's already been to the courts before. States try to, you know, hem the parties in. We demand this, or we tell you, you must that. Guess what? You can't do that to a national party. But here's what's really strange, Tom, to my opinion. Joe Biden's not going to get primaried, right? If he runs again, Joe Biden will be the nominee of the Democratic Party. So why does it care? Why does he care about the nomination process for his reelection, considering there's no chance that he's going to get primaried in any sort of genuine fashion? I mean, Bernie's not going to primary Biden or something. That's not going to happen. So why would it matter what the order of the nomination is, Dom? To Joe Biden, why would he care so much?
Maybe it's not for Joe Biden. Maybe it's more for the long-term, you know, well-being of the party. I mean, apparently in 2020, Iowa had some pitfalls, some technological issues. They did not perform very well.
Well, we were there, and it was a terrible output the second time around. And the first time around, it was a coin flip. It was unexpected, the closeness of the race. It was like 7 or 8 districts came down to a coin flip between Bernie Sanders and Hillary Clinton. But it was much less close, at least in that regard. Joe Biden was like in 4th or 5th in Iowa, though. And if I was the president and I was the top of the party and I had all the choice and some state picked me 5th, well, Dom, back of the line for you.
Back of the line. House Majority Whip Jim Clyburn, South Carolina's lone congressional Democrat and one of Biden's top supporters, said the president called him Thursday to inform him of his push to move his state up. I didn't ask to be first. It was his idea to be first. Of course, Clyburn's endorsement of Biden in 2020 boosted his flagging presidential campaign. It helped him shake off early losses in Iowa, New Hampshire, Nevada, and eventually take the White House. Clyburn said he knows what South Carolina did for him, and he's demonstrated that time and time again by giving respect to South Carolina. A little less respect for Iowa.
Dominic, I'm going to put you down for pro-werewolf. Herschel Walker, he's pro-vampire. Come back. We're the devil's advocates. We're pro Don Brown from Waukesha talking about the Christmas parade.
When they go low, we
run the okie doke on you.
We have not planned for the.
When they go low, we get high. Woo! The devil's advocates.
And we are back from the 420 break. Thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Please check us out on the socials on Twitter at Devil Radio. And of course, on Facebook at the Devil's Advocates Radio.
Dominic, just for the record, Darcy sent me a little emoji, so she's listening.
All right.
Love you, Darcy.
Hey, Darcy.
Broadcasting here from the Solidarity Realty Studios, we welcome our pal, Don Brown, calling in from Waukesha. Don is a former alder there. He is the host of This Week in Waukesha. He does play-by-play on Waukesha South High School sports. And Don, you're going to be the MC. You're going to bring us the broadcast coverage of the Christmas parade along with the broader civic media cast of characters this Sunday starting about 4 o'clock. Coverage beginning on WAUK about 3 o'clock. Don, welcome back to the show.
That's right.
Hey, Don.
Hey, Mike. Dom, thanks for having me. Yeah, it's going to be a pretty busy Waukesha weekend. Connor Boston and I are on our way to Kettle Moraine to broadcast the Blackshirts Conference 8 opener against the Lasers, and that should be an exciting game. And then tomorrow morning, Mayor Sean Riley joins me to talk about the upcoming parade on Sunday and the healing process that continues in our fine city and the year following the attack and all other good things going on in Waukesha. And then, of course, yeah, the parade on Sunday. We're really excited about it. We're going to be starting the coverage at 3, and we're going to have some boots on the ground throughout Main Street. Maybe even yourself, Mr. Curdy, will be reporting to us on what's going on throughout the parade. And many of our sponsors will be interviewed, as well as other attendees and parade participants. So it's really going to be quite a party. I'm really looking forward to it.
Well, my understanding is Earl's going to be there from the Earl Ingram Show.
Earl, yep.
I hear Jamari's coming. I'm going to be there. I don't know about Dom. He's never trustworthy. But Don,
you should come, man. He's got to get out of Whitefish Bay, man. Come see
us. Don.
Oh, sorry, Dom. I gave your address away.
Don, last
That's
time,
all right, man.
Don, last time we spoke with you, it was the one-year anniversary of the tragedy. November 21st, I believe that was, Don. This weekend is not the traditional, or at least historically, the parade had happened earlier than this. Why are we doing it later, Don? Is that in deference to the anniversary? Why later?
Sorry, my phone keeps switching over. So it was always traditionally the Sunday before Thanksgiving, and it was a way to kind of promote the retail during the holiday season. And I believe, you know, for a couple reasons. One is I'm guessing you want to avoid any type of copycat type of thing. It's close to the anniversary. I think it also being close to the anniversary date might have been hard for some people. Many of the victims will be participating in the parade, including Eric Teagues and his family, who are my guests on last week's show. And I think, too, just for planning, that the city and the police and fire thought that this coming Sunday would be the best day to do it. And someday they hope to return to that traditional Sunday before Thanksgiving. So, but I hear we're having nice weather, so I'm looking forward to it. And as long as the weather's nice, it's a good day for me.
Don,
and for all of us in Waukesha.
My understanding had gotten some notice from the property manager there in Waukesha that some of the streets are already being closed in Waukesha, in the downtown district. Our location, our studio there in Waukesha, WAUK Studios, the Shaw, is at 217 Wisconsin Avenue. It's right on parade route. Don, is
right on the parade route.
Is the downtown essentially on lockdown here for the course of the weekend, or limited flow, or how's that working for Waukesha traffic right now?
As I understand it, looking at what I've learned from the city, is that they're going to start to close everything.
Don, we lost you. Don, we've lost you, my friend. I'm sorry, Don, we've lost you. But the Waukesha Christmas Parade is going to go off this Sunday, and we're going to broadcast it originating on WAUK 540 AM. And I would point out, Don, that signal is the beast of the east. You will be able to hear that parade through most of eastern Wisconsin, and we will have it on the Civic Media app on the WAUK channel. So if you've got interest and you'd like to give it a listen, do so. It's going to play out starting about 3 o'clock. The parade starts about 4, and we anticipate it's going to run to about 5:30. So please be a part. We look forward to it. And Don, we got another fine guest joining us very, very soon. Dr. Harvey K. might be looking for a Zoom link, but
I sent him one. Harvey K., he's going to join us at the bottom of the hour. Thank you, Don Brown. Folks, make sure you tune in or go check out the Waukesha Parade, a great chance for healing here in the state of Wisconsin and the community of Waukesha.
And don't forget the weekly show that Don does each Saturday morning, as he pointed out. The Waukesha Mayor, Sean Riley, is going to be his guest tomorrow morning at about 8 o'clock. And don't forget, if you're living in the Waukesha area and you're a Black Shirts fan, Waukesha South High School going off about 7 o'clock tonight in Waukesha for all the locals. We got high school basketball all across the state, many different markets tonight, Dom. A little college hockey up in WFHR land. And, of course, UW volleyball. We look forward to the beginning of another NCAA championship for that team.
Cody, did I see that the Badgers are playing Marquette this weekend? Does that seem right to you?
Badger basketball. Yeah,
yes.
Baby. Quarter battle or whatever you call it. Yeah, the I-94 battle between the Marquette, what are they now? The Golden Eagles and the Badgers. And the difference is the Badgers lost their last game late, and it was unfortunate. It was a close game. Marquette just crushed Baylor. Baylor's number 6 in the nation. And Marquette, Shaka Smith, man, that guy, everybody, to know him is to like him, the coach at Marquette University. you know, the Wojciechowski days are behind us. You know, we are, Dominic, playing that game tomorrow on 5 different Learfield stations across the network, because not only are we the voice of the Milwaukee, the Marquette Golden Eagles. I keep wanting to call them the Warriors. I know they've changed that name so many years ago, but on WXEO and WIRI in North Central Wisconsin, we are the home of the Marquette Golden Eagles. And of course, we're your home for the Badgers on WFHR, Wexy up in Amory, and of course, WRCE, news from the center. Got to keep them all straight in my head. It's hard to do some days.
I don't know how you do it, man.
Dr. Harvey K., our good buddy, Professor Emeritus, University of Wisconsin, Green Bay. He joins us next. He didn't give me his stuff either, but I got it out there. Come back, more Devils.
The Devil's Advocates, never personal, only politics.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Made it to the Friday, Dominic. We got another fine guest joining us right now, live via Zoom. Apparently, he and I dressed in the same mirror today. We got the same outfit on. Dr. Harvey K., our good friend, Professor Emeritus, University of Wisconsin, Green Bay. The only difference, I got the Badger cap on, man. You got the Aaron Rodgers style Green Bay Packer cap on. That's got to be hard to wear these days.
You know what? It's a Green Bay Packers versus Chicago Bears weekend. And this is a Navy top, and I thought I can't leave it at that. I've got to show to you at least my commitments.
You better wear the colors. You better wear those colors. We can all agree on one thing, you know, year in and year out, the Bears still suck.
Bears still suck.
I knew that was coming.
So, Harvey, off track, but, you know, I don't know if you're aware. We're coming your way, baby. Civic Media is growing into the Green Bay media market around the first of the year.
I asked you about that. Tell me where it's going to, or what am I going to look for? What's going on?
You're going to look for the greatest radio show ever between 4 and 6 p.m. on 97.9 FM. You write this down,
Harvey?
Write this down. WGBW.
97.9 FM.
And 1590 AM. All the way from Green Bay, all the way up to Marinette, all the way up through Door County. We're taking.
Is it going to be Devil Radio in Green Bay?
Oh, no. No, we got a different name for it there. Yeah, man. We brand them each one uniquely.
Yeah, but the lineup, though. Are you asking about the lineup, Harvey? Like, what's going to be played out?
Right, exactly. Thank you.
Yes.
Thank you.
Yes, of course we will. Greatest radio show ever. How could it not play in your hometown, Harvey K.?
Right. So I guess I'm now going to be recruited for a weekly stint, right?
Buddy, I'm going to have...
Absolutely.
I'm going to have studios right down on Washington Street, right on the river.
No kidding.
Right on the Ray Nitschke Bridge. Man, it's going to be the WGBW building, Harvey. You watch. We're putting a brand on the top.
I welcome you to Green Bay. I think that's wonderful. Absolutely.
I'm going to come and talk much trash to that mediocre Joe guy down the dial.
So tell me something. Are you coming up yourself soon?
I've been up quite a bit lately.
Okay. Now, you mean to say
I've been on clandestine missions, man. Can't talk about Fight Club.
Wait a minute. You've been up here. You haven't told me. And now you're telling me, and I'm not supposed to be pissed off?
You don't call, you don't write, Crudy.
Well, the last time I was supposed to stay in Green Bay, which was 2 weekends ago, Harvey, that happened to correspond with the Dallas Cowboys coming to Green Bay for the weekend. And my wife, I knew that we were going to our Oshkosh studios, and then we're going up to Green Bay to pick up our keys from our new landlord. And I did so, but what my wife failed to mention is she didn't realize when the Packers had a home game, even the Motel 6 is like $400. And I wasn't paying $400.
I ended up
staying in Ripon. It was down the road a bit.
Wait, hold on. For the record, I assume your wife is even nicer than you are. Let's start there.
Well, that's a low bar.
First. So, but therefore, if you had told me, I mean, we have an extra bedroom here.
Here forward, Harvey.
We share the same bathroom, but it's an extra bedroom.
I'm in, Harvey. Next time I'm in town.
Here forward, Harvey. I'll let you know when I'm coming because it's not a secret anymore, man. You know, once you get in the FCC and you get to the point of closing, you don't have to keep it secret. I've been keeping many secrets.
You didn't think you could trust me with a secret?
I can't trust anyone with a secret, Harvey. I don't even tell Dominic Pillow Talk anymore. He can't be trusted either.
Yeah, I forget about it anyway, Harvey.
Harvey, let's talk about something important, not just what we're doing on the radio dial. Let's talk about the railway strike averted through an act of Congress. And I got to tell you, both Dominic and I took umbrage with the way this was handled.
And I should hope so.
It didn't seem appropriate for either President Joe Biden to insert himself. I know he had been part of the negotiations, but to go direct Congress to go tell people they don't have the right to collectively bargain and go on strike if their gargantuanly profitable employers won't deal with them in a fair fashion, Harvey, doesn't seem quite fair to the working stiff out there in the world.
Okay, so let's set the picture. For some years now, the billionaires who own the two major rail systems have reduced the workforce on their lines. So that means that a smaller number of workers are having to handle the workload of a far larger number of workers in the past. And by the way, there are now trains that are up to 3 miles long, and I have been told with two staff on board that train. Now, and what that means is, frankly, that working conditions are abysmal. That's first, okay? I remember the days of the caboose. We don't have to go back to those stories. But here's the other thing. The scheduling, these workers they're on the same kind of schedule as like the U.S. Marines and the U.S. Army. They're on like 24-hour call. They don't have a regular schedule. So their working arrangements and working conditions are abysmal. Their salaries, their wages may be higher than most the average worker, but their conditions are utterly abysmal, first. Second of all, they have no paid sick leave. That's outrageous. Now, here's the thing. When they knew the strike was coming, the Biden administration intervened, but they intervened in a way that basically, excuse the expression, did in the workers. Now, why could that happen? Because the railroad bosses probably suggested, hinted, or told Biden, if you don't agree to what we want, we're going to force a strike, and you do not want a strike in the election season. You will pay the price. So he bent to the bosses. That's my theory. Okay.
But we move beyond the election.
Here's the other thing. This is even worse. The stupidity of this administration is that they put themselves in a position of having to go to Congress to ask for congressional action when they could have done an executive order that provided for, by the way, Obama did this with workers. He said no federal contracts to companies they all require a 7-day paid sick leave. But he exempted the railways at that time. Well, now Biden could have lifted the exemption or issued his own executive order. I mean, what he allowed to happen is going to come back to haunt the Democratic Party in 2024. Seriously.
Harvey, we're in a current elective cycle, at least a recast in Georgia. And we've got a friend, Rick Smith. You know Rick. Rick Smith.
Yes, I do. Yeah.
He's on the ground in Georgia. And he said he's out there trying to rally union members, rally voters in Georgia. This seems like it could perhaps take the wind out of Democratic sails.
Yeah, I've been getting calls and texts from union folks around the country who are utterly fed up with the Democratic Party. I mean, their feeling is the party of the people is now the party of the corporations. And they're just not fulfilling these elected officials, you know, Democrats are not fulfilling their promises, their moral obligations. I mean, it's a tragedy what we've seen unfold. And by the way, and a sidebar to that, the switching of the Democratic Party primary to start in South Carolina is pure idiocy.
As a sidebar, why is that, Harvey? I don't like South Carolina either. But
why is it idiocy?
I mean, it seems like a tip of the hat to Clyburn that he apparently didn't ask for.
That's idiocy to begin with. No tip of the hat to Clyburn. Let's be careful, okay? Clyburn is not a progressive. Clyburn and the state of South Carolina is hostile to labor unionism. And Clyburn is hostile to the very things that progressives would like to see, including, and first and foremost, national health care. Why would you want to reward that? Okay. Moreover, if you're going to go for diversity, that's their stated objective, go to Michigan.
Right.
Go to Illinois. Okay.
Folks are listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show. That's Dr. Harvey K., Professor Emeritus at UWGB. Harvey, I want to get back to on point here for a moment regarding the labor, potential labor
sure.
strike.
Yeah, sorry, I took
and
this
I get the politics of it, right? Say, you know, Biden, you're in election time, so if you don't do what we want, we're going to stick it to you during the election. Okay, so he played ball, and they got him agreed to some sort of terms that some of the unions eventually backed out of. But now we're past the election, Harvey, right? So what's the upside for the Biden administration to go down this road?
There is no upside whatsoever, okay? However, the door is not completely closed. I believe there's a certain number of days during which he can still either veto the legislation or at the least probably issue an executive order that would make the legislation irrelevant.
So it's your position, Harvey, that the President Biden could have issued an executive order to address the 7 days paid sick leave without any of this?
Yeah, from what I've read, Obama basically had done similar things by way of federal contracts. And I'd be shocked to find out that the major railways don't have federal contracts.
Folks, you are listening to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. We got a fine guest. He is Dr. Harvey K., Professor Emeritus, University of Wisconsin, Green Bay. He's our good friend. Harvey, I don't want to overreact. I always sort of take Bernie Sanders' temperature before I overreact like Dom might. Bernie Sanders was supportive of this legislation, at least in a statement after the fact. He said it was far from perfect. But if Bernie thinks it's good enough, Harvey, are we perhaps, you know, if it's good enough for Bernie, is it good enough for you, sir?
Bernie voted against it, though.
Bernie voted against it. Thank you, Dom.
Well, then I misunderstood his statement, so I apologize.
I believe that you may have heard him say what the House had passed, which was to have the obstruction to a strike, but also a 7-day, I believe they passed the 7-day paid sick leave arrangement. That's what I believe he probably endorsed. He could not have endorsed.
So it was the fact that the sick leave had been excluded from the deal that basically Joe Biden said, you got a good enough deal, boys and girls, you got to take it.
Yeah, that's pretty much it, I think. Yeah. Yeah. Now, but let's also be clear. The state of the railways is great for the billionaires who own them. The state of the railways is not good for the workers who labor upon them. Okay. They need more staff on those rail lines. People are getting killed. They're getting sick from the overwork, the strain. It's not a healthy situation.
But staff costs money, Harvey. And if you pay more money, you have less profit. You have less profit, you're not going to meet your margins. You know,
meeting the margins, that the numbers have already been run. It would have been like 3 days of profit would have paid for the healthcare arrangement.
Oh, my God. Harvey, I know you're a big fan of FDR. What do you think FDR would have done in this situation?
Okay, I will fully confess up front, there were occasions when FDR had the federal government take over the railways to block a strike. But that was during World War II, during a state of, if you like, of some kind of national emergency. You had to produce and deliver the goods, period. But it is also the case that FDR knew very well that he would not have allowed the circumstances to go as far as they went. Here's what I can't get over. This administration said they wanted to be like FDR. This administration said they wanted to be, or that they were, the most pro-labor presidential administration since FDR. Well, in that case, there's no way that Biden should have walked away from the initial negotiations. Should never have walked away from them without having secured the 7-day paid sick leave. That's the thing that boggles my mind. But why did they not do it? Because Biden bows, as he regularly does, to the corporate bosses. And I voted for, let me get it clear. I voted for him. If push came to shove, I would probably do so again. But seriously speaking, this is not a good, this is not good. It will come back to haunt Biden.
Our friend, Dr. Harvey K. Harvey, I make you this promise. I'm coming up to Green Bay in the new year. I'm inviting you down to the new studios on Washington. And I might even bring Dominic with me. Maybe.
Oh, that'd be great. Absolutely fabulous.
And we expect you to get us drunk afterwards.
You
thank
expect
you.
Me to get what?
Nah, we'll tell you afterwards. Take care, Harvey. Have a great weekend. More Devils. We'll be back.
Thank you,
Harvey.
Must help, please.
I ain't gonna do it.
Occupy didn't start on Wall Street. It started on our street. The Devil's Advocates.
And we are back. Thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Phone lines open for your take at 844-967-2789.
Want to thank our most recent guest, a friend of ours, Dr. Harvey K., Professor Emeritus, University of Wisconsin, Green Bay. What I said, Harvey, is after the show, we expect you to get us drunk. At least I do. If I'm going up there, I'll get a room, right? You know, sleep behind a studio or something. Dumpster.
Party time in Green Bay, man. They know how to get it done up there.
I hope Harvey knows how to show us a good time, Dom. We've never partied with Harvey.
I know. We got to break him in, man.
We'll break him in. Dominic, President Biden today had statements to make about this rail strike. Now might be an appropriate time to play some of this sound. I've got a few thoughts about how, well, anyways, let's start with the president's sound, and then I'll save my thoughts. Grievances, if you will, Dom. If you would, Ebone, play cut number 10, President Biden on the rail strike.
Rail shutdown would have devastated our economy. Without freight rail, many of the U.S. industries would literally shut down.
Yeah, that's some hell of a leverage. Maybe you could get yourself 7 paid sick leave days out of that, right?
More from President Biden. Cut 11, the backbone of supply.
Our nation's rail system is literally the backbone of our supply chain, as you all well know, and so much of what we rely on is delivered on our rail, from clean water to food and gas and every other good.
You know, I am expecting a large freight package from Maine about the middle of December, and the question I had to ask myself is, how you shipping it? Coming on rail, or we got a truck delivering that? A little bit more from President Biden. Thank Congress? Question mark. Cut 12.
I want to thank Congress once again for being partners today, for averting this disaster and keeping our economy on a stable footing during the holiday season.
You know, Dom, when someone's sort of stuck it to you, and then they tell you, but next time it'll be different. Next time. This feels a lot like that. If you would, play Lucky 13 next time.
Look, I know this bill doesn't have paid sick leave that these rail workers and, frankly, every worker in America deserves. But that fight isn't over. I didn't commit we were going to stop just because we couldn't get it in this bill.
No, but,
yeah,
but
what does that look like?
Moving on.
What are you talking about? Tell me how that gets done.
You know, there is a lot of legislative will to end the collective bargaining agreement, or at least the ability to collectively bargain, to go on strike, to withhold their labor, sort of a bipartisan thing. And if you're worried about the supply chains at the holiday, whether or not people are going to get their Christmas turkeys or not, well, if you're really trying to allow people to influence the national narrative on things like paid sick leave, well, perhaps this could have been the shining example that led other industries to follow suit.
Right.
Wow. It's such a big issue. This whole industry just shut down big chunks of the country. Maybe we should give people paid sick leave.
if your kid can't get the G.I. Joe with the Kung Fu drip grip on time, right? And perhaps the consumers start thinking about these things as well. And voters, of course. I mean, that's the whole point, right? If you think, if you feel like you're getting stuck, and the rail workers obviously felt that way, well, then what are your options? You know, you have a contract, you have collective bargaining, you go through the process, right? Because of the rail, because of how important it is, it's different than everything else. But when it comes down to it, just like everything else, when it comes down to when the rubber hits the road, it's the money. And he didn't thank, I didn't hear Obama thank the rail owners, Warren Buffett, no thanks there. Well, I mean, what, $300 million out of $22 billion so far this year were the numbers that our pal told us, Rick Smith told us yesterday that I remember. I mean, this is not a lot of money. 3 days profit or something like that, we just heard Harvey say. So thank you, Warren Buffett. But this is when you see the Congress, you know, come around and stick it to labor like this, and it's bipartisan in effect. Well, it just goes to show, man, money makes the world go round. And God forbid you're in a situation of labor, whether in a union or not, and you have the ability, you have the leverage to just ask for something reasonable. And if you decide not to go to work that would impact the economy in such a grave manner, well, then maybe you should be paid a little more for as important as this work is.
Almost like railway people are essential workers, Don.
Yeah, weird.
But they can't have time off if they get sick because they're essential. So don't get sick and don't make medical appointments in the future because you're not allowed to. Anyways, more from President Biden. He spared the country the pain, except for the rail workers. Cut 14.
Thanks to the bill Congress passed and one I'm about to sign, we've spared the country that catastrophe.
And it was the right thing to do. Do the right thing, says Joe Biden. Cut 15.
I know this was a tough vote for members of both parties. It was a tough for me, but it was the right thing to do at the moment, to save jobs, to protect millions of working families from harm and disruption.
You know, I'm glad Bernie Sanders voted against this. I really misunderstood his position on this because Bernie, I had seen a comment talking about the House bill, and I wasn't watching the separate legislative pieces closely enough to distinguish between the two. But I thought effectively Bernie had said, you know, we want the paid sick leave. And of course I knew, and we all know, because Joe Biden just told you ain't getting it, but next time, next year after the harvest, you'll be able to go off to the university.
Yeah, Luke Skywalker. But I want to join the rebels now. It is disappointing. And it just seemingly goes against everything that the Democratic Party claims to be for. I mean, there's a bunch of ways apparently this could have gone down, and I just don't know. And you know, I'm not in the back room, you know, I'm not smoking the cigars, I'm not having the conversations. But if you're going to put yourself up as a party of the working class, sticking it to them when they have an opportunity to show the entire world how important, number one, their jobs are, how unreasonable the Warren Buffett and the owners of the railways are being, given the profit margins that they are receiving, and given the history of paring down the workforce over the years to increase that profitability. I just don't understand how Democrats and Biden could say, yes, this is very important, we support the workers and collective bargaining, but I mean, if it wasn't, you know, $2 billion a day, if it was maybe $1 billion a day, then it'd be fine. Or, you know, what's the number? We know the number. It's $2 billion a day. I don't know what the low number is, but I know, when are Democrats going to, you know, put labor aside for $2 billion a day? That's the price.
Warren Buffett, earlier this week, I believe it was Tuesday, his net worth, his individual net worth, one singular railroad company owner. We've all heard of Warren Buffett, Berkshire Hathaway guy. His net worth went up $1.48 billion. I believe it was on Tuesday. He could have paid for 15 days of sick leave for every single one of the employees with his 1 day increase in net worth. I don't think they can afford it, Dom. It'd be really tough to do the right thing.
Give it all away for just a little bit more.
More devils. Stick around. Do the right thing.
I was sad for America. I was sad for America.